Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
You would please open your Bibles to John chapter 20. Verses 1 through 23. John chapter 20, verses 1 through 23. This is God's word. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter, who was behind him, arrived and went into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the burial cloth that had been around Jesus' head. The cloth was folded up by itself, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to their homes. But Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. "Woman," he said, "why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you've put him and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet returned to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am returning to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord," and she told them that he had said these things to her. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he had said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Now, Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. God willing, next time we're going to pick up with the story of Thomas, both the declaration that he would not believe until he had firsthand knowledge, and how Jesus met him, even in his doubt. But right now, we want to look at three aspects of this story. The first 23 verses contain the story of the empty tomb. It's a piece of evidence. It's something that requires an explanation. There have been various theories on the part of those who refuse to believe the truth. People trying to come up with what might have happened. And then there are those of us who know the one who rose from the dead. The empty tomb was the first thing that tipped the disciples off to the fact that this is not going the way you expected. They had already been shocked by the crucifixion, despite the fact that Jesus told them he was going to be crucified. Now they're shocked that the tomb is empty, even though Jesus told them he was going to rise again. Do you ever feel that people who profess to be followers of Jesus sometimes don't really listen to what he says and believe what he says? That was certainly the case with these fellows, and I must confess, I've been one of these fellows. God's word is plain. It's clear. Somehow I missed that. Or I read it, but I thought that can't be what it means. God says what he means, and he means what he says. You can believe his word. The tomb was empty. Mary Magdalene was one of the women who went to the tomb, thinking that they would now do a better job of preparing Jesus' body, but they were a little concerned before they got there as to how they'd get in, because they knew there was a giant stone rolled over the opening. And when they got there, the stone had been rolled away. Well, when they saw the stone had been removed, Mary Magdalene came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved. Now, Jesus loved all the disciples, but this is John's description of himself. He's saying, I'm the favorite. Okay? Jesus loved people, but really loved me. I don't know that I would enjoy John. If you walked around wearing a sweatshirt that said, God loves me more than he loves you, I probably wouldn't like you. But John refers to himself this way, and we know who he's talking about. He makes it clear. You read the whole gospel, it's very clear he's talking about himself. But he says that Mary came to Peter and the one Jesus loved and said, they have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they've put him. So Peter and the other disciples started for the tomb, both running. But the other disciple outran Peter. John was younger, okay? And he wants us to know he was a faster runner, okay? And he got there first. But he bent over and looked in, but did not go inside. He saw the strips of linen lying there, because Jesus had been wrapped in strips of linen. But he did not go in. Simon, Peter, when he gets there, just bursts into the tomb. Doesn't that fit with what we know and have seen over and over again with Simon's personality? Okay? He just goes charging right on in. And after he assesses the situation, then finally, it says, verse 8, the other disciple who had reached the tomb first also went inside. He saw and believed. I just love the human personality that comes out in this. This is not some made-up story. This is a recounting of their experience. He says, he went inside, he saw, and he believed. But they still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. You see, Jesus had been trying to tell them over and over, this happened in order that this would be fulfilled. This has to happen in order for the Scriptures to be fulfilled. This has to happen in order for the Scriptures to be fulfilled. But they were not looking to God's Word to find out what has to happen. Now, that's all going to change. And you'll see Peter in the book of Acts saying, this all had to happen in order the Scriptures might be fulfilled. Well, the Scripture also says this about Judas and the fact that another should take his place, and so we need to get on with that. He's going to begin in his preaching and in his daily decisions and in his leadership to rely on God's Word for direction as to what to do. Let me suggest to you that that is an excellent model to follow. I don't know what to do. Well, does Scripture speak to this? I don't know. Well, why don't you read the Scriptures and study the Scriptures and memorize the Scriptures and meditate on the Scriptures and then ask the Lord to direct you from the Scriptures? You know what? It's amazing how God will answer that prayer. But if you don't know God's Word, I'm astounded at some of the ignorance among not just new Christians, that's not surprising, but among clergy, people who are supposed to be ministers of the gospel, and they don't know what the Scripture says. I've told you on more than one occasion about the fellow with two PhDs who did not believe in the resurrection literally, but who said that he believed in the resurrection, that it was the very foundation of our faith. I said, you believe Jesus physically rose from the dead? He said, no, no. I said, so you believe it was his spirit or his soul that came back? No, I don't believe there is any such thing. Well, if it wasn't his body and it wasn't his spirit or soul, what do you believe the resurrection was? He just said that it's the very foundation of our faith. His response was, I remind you, well, I don't want to get hung up on that. I saw that man the next night. And I said, Dr. So-and-so, did you figure out what the resurrection is? Caught off guard, he turned and he said, the resurrection of Jesus Christ was when his disciples realized that whoever this Jesus was, a fisherman or whatever, his teaching was still important and relevant. I said, I believe he was a carpenter. Okay? Now, I was a kid. I was a teenager. But I knew the book. I'd read it. I'd heard it taught. And I believed it. Let me just tell you something, folks. This is God's Word. It is true. And the disciples still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. The empty tomb was something God had promised. The main point today is that Jesus conquered death. Jesus conquered death. Everybody has to face the end of their life. I've done the funeral of small children who died of cancer, and it's just heartbreaking. But let me tell you, one little girl who I think of knew that she was dying. She told her grandmother, I need to pack. Her grandmother said, pack? She said, yes, an angel told me that I'm going somewhere. That was interesting, just out of the blue. Let me tell you something. Whether it's a car crash or cancer, or whether you live like my mom did to 99, you're going to die. We're all going to die. And you can try not to think about it, or you can make sure you're prepared for it. If I died today, I'd have the best day of my life. I'm not dying to die. But what I am able to do is live with confidence because Jesus has already conquered death. There's nothing Satan can threaten us with if we are in Christ.
Folks, with current events, many of us are realizing all the more that our time on earth is temporary. While I have many on my heart that I pray will surrender to Jesus, I'm beginning to get very excited about soon spending forever with Him. Can you relate? If you're like many of us who are rethinking our wills, I'd like to ask you to consider leaving a gift to support the kids at Ware's Valley Ranch. We have a program called Legacy 145. It's based on Psalm 145:4. One generation will declare your works to the next and will proclaim your mighty acts. If participating in something that will pass on the gospel to future generations after you're in heaven interests you, go to wvr.org and click on the icon for Legacy 145. That's wvr.org and click on the Legacy 145 button. Or you can give us a call at 866-41-ABIDE. That's 866-41-ABIDE.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
So the empty tomb speaks. But then I want you to see, secondly, that the first witness to the resurrection, the first person to see the resurrected Jesus was a PhD. Is that right? No, it was a woman out of whom Jesus had cast seven demons. This is not the person that most of us would pick to be the PR. But God did. Because this gospel is all about grace. It's about Jesus having come to save sinners. I've got good news for you. You qualify on that count, just like I do. All of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and we are exactly the kind of people God loves to save and then send out as witnesses. And so you have this beautiful, moving account of Mary, who's so overcome with emotion, her eyes are filled with tears, and she doesn't even recognize Jesus until he calls her by name. He knows you, and he calls you by name and says, "Trust me." Jesus commissioned her to go and proclaim the good news. Men and women, boys and girls, who trust in Jesus are entrusted with the message of good news. And we need to share what God has shown us. The first witness to the risen Christ was Mary Magdalene. Third point, Jesus, on the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Shalom," peace. He spoke peace to them. They were meeting together, but terrified. They really were fearful. You read the other gospel accounts. They were, on the one hand, overjoyed at the prospect that Jesus is alive, but they were also initially skeptical. Read the other gospel accounts, and you have Jesus saying, because they thought he must be a ghost. We must just being his spirit back from the dead. He can't physically be alive again. He was executed by Rome. So we know he's dead, but now he's alive? And Jesus said, I'm not a ghost. Give me something to eat. I'll show you. And he ate with them. But he had to prove to them that he was alive. But Jesus didn't just speak peace to them. He didn't just prove that he was alive. Jesus also breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. Because of the atonement, because Jesus had paid the penalty for our sin, the veil in the temple was now torn from top to bottom. It is possible for sinners not only to be forgiven, but to be intimately connected with God where he comes to live in us. If you go back to the Genesis story where God made man of the dust of the earth and breathed into his nostrils and man became a living being. This is the new creation. Jesus is now breathing his spirit, the Holy Spirit of God, in a way that has never been before, coming to intimately live the life of Christ through his people. But it couldn't happen until after Jesus died and rose again. If you look at John chapter 7, verses 37 through 39, Jesus speaks of his spirit being poured out, but it's only going to be after what happened at the cross and Jesus conquering death for us. Jesus not only speaks peace in this encounter, he not only breathes his spirit on the disciples, giving them new life, eternal life, but he also sends his disciples. He says, as the Father has sent me, I am sending you. Now, before he did that, he showed them his hands and side. If you and I are really going to accept the truth of the gospel and go out with that message, we must accept the fact that there will be wounds. There will be a price. There will be rejection. Jesus showed them the wounds, and then he breathed on them, speaking peace once again. But he commissions them, saying, as the Father has sent me, so I'm sending you. And you are to carry this message of forgiveness into the world. There isn't another way to be forgiven. It's only through the gospel. It's only through Jesus. Now, as I said, next time, God willing, we'll be looking at what happened with Thomas. Because Thomas missed this. Judas missed it. He was dead. Thomas missed it too. Where was Thomas? Don't know. Bible doesn't say. But I know this. Jesus didn't forget about Thomas. Jesus hasn't forgotten about those of you who are not there yet. You haven't really decided what you believe. You're not sure. If your doubts are sincere, Jesus will meet you at your point of need. But if your doubts are just a smokescreen, just a way of avoiding having to yield your life to Christ, I plead with you to repent. He's calling to you, calling you by name. He knows you, and he invites you to come. Trust him.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.